Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Roundtable here on Blog Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, at the Roundtable. This morning, Lord have mercy, I tell you, I looked at the calendar this morning, and it said June the 3rd. It's an amazing time. Things are moving fast. We have got to learn that we have to get on our Father's business. We don't have time to waste. Time is moving. And if you're 40, you can tell. You're shifted in your spirit because you're saying, oh, my God, I'm 40 years old. You know, usually 40 is an awareness to people. You know, 30 kind of tap them a little bit before they get, you know, a deeper, sort of like a nudge. And 50, oh, my gosh, you get a little slap on your face. And 60, just, you know, I don't know what you get. You just about say, oh, where am I? I got to get caught up about my Father's business. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, I am Dr. Bessie. I am here at the Roundtable with mothers and daughters around the world. And I say that literally. It's just amazing what the Internet can do. And has the effect and the media of reaching people on their computers, they're on their cell phones, you know, their tablets, and they can pick us up. The amount of people that are on the computers listening, you know, and the key to this thing is so simple. God is so unique in his design because, you know, everything is created by God and nothing is that God is not a part of. It's the telephone. You simply can just dial the number and pick up on this radio program from anywhere around the world. We have our correspondents in Africa. They're on the phone. Yeah. You know, I don't want to say the wrong word because I'm really practicing and choosing words correctly because, you know, that's the start of the outcome. But I'm amazed at the way technology is today and when it went compared to when it was when I was a little girl. You had the television, you had the radio, and you could hear certain things, and it only took the frequency to a certain place in space. But now, satellite, you can reach around the world. I don't know why that's important, but that came to my mind this morning, and I just want to say good morning, good morning, good morning. I am back in my space. I've had two beautiful weeks, almost 3 weeks, spending it with my co-host down in the sunny Florida area. We've had a wonderful time working on our project. You know, God just blessed us tremendously, and the Holy Spirit spoke and gave us insights. And even when we slipped just a little bit, you know, a couple of days on something else, the Lord said, what are you doing? And not only did he tap me, he tapped Cynthia. She got up, told me, I said, I know, he already told me. We got back on it and we got on that horse and we started riding. And glad we did, because then God blessed us and showed us the manifestation of his blessing because we were obedient and we got back on that horse. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm great. Sitting here missing you guys. I know Al was in the room and you at the table, and I'm sitting there. We're having a cup of coffee and just talking to mothers and daughters around the world. It is so much better with in your presence than, you know, having a, the distance. But we're going to do what we do anyway and keep it moving.
And that's it, and that's the beauty of technology. We can keep it moving no matter where we are. So that's the beauty of it. Just want to say good morning to the audience. Thank you for bringing me in. Good morning, Deborah. I know that you're on. How are you guys? I miss you already as well, Dr. Fletcher. It's just not the same. But by that same token, as I stated, that's why we have technology. It lets us be in the same place at the same time.
Amen. It's just amazing what technology can do. And Deborah's on today. I'll look for her.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. We welcome Deborah. Frida did text me and said that she would be doing something this morning. She would not be joining us this morning. So we will miss her. Good morning, Deborah. Let me see. Can I find Deborah? Let's go to the switchboard here. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, man. We missed you last week. Yeah.
I missed you two weeks before. I said, wow, Dr. Fletcher is doing her conferences. I was wondering if I could get over there to the conferences. Anyway, all is well. I'm just I'm excited about my nephews are coming from Arizona for a month, so I have them on the weekend. So pray for me, 12 and 4.
you're going to do well. You're going to do well. So I'm going to call upon you this morning, if you don't mind, if you give us a prayer.
Okay, that's fine. Praise the Lord. We can do that.
Okay.
We thank you, Lord, for this moment, this opportunity. We thank you for this Saturday. We thank you that you allowed us to open our eyes and let our heart beat and the blood to continuously pump through our veins. We thank you that you allowed us to be together in unity on this radio show, listening and talking and observing and learning and partaking of the Spirit and the things that you have us to say. We thank you for that. We thank you for what you're going to do, what you said you need to do, and what you're going to do through us. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you also for those mothers and daughters that's listening that might be curious about a few things and might not have the courage to come on and ask the questions, but will listen, Lord. We thank you that their hearts are hungry for a way to do better in their relationships with their daughters or their kids. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you have your way right now. Do what you do best, Lord. Heal, deliver, and set free those that's in bondage in the relationships of mother and daughter. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for all that you've done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to go through the commentary and do what the Lord told me to do, and I'll come back to you, okay?
Yes.
All right. All right, Cynthia?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm going to do my commentary, and then I'll be right back to you, okay?
All righty.
Thank you. All right, mothers and daughters around the world, here we go. Some exciting things are happening with Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. Some exciting things are happening. You know, sometimes you just have to keep your mouth closed and just walk it through. But I tell you, if you just stay focused on what God has asked you to do, the manifestation will just overpour. It will just overtake you. It's so great that that's the enemy's job, is to keep you from staying focused, because he wants you get just a little taste of the manifestation, you'll get hungry, and you want more and more and more. His job is to keep you from tasting it. Not, he don't even want you to get a smell. Because then he knows it's over. See, everything is already done. That's the thing we want to talk about this morning. Everything is already done. There's nothing need to be created. God didn't create us to create his work. He created us to fulfill his creation, his thought, his journey. And it's so amazing. This week, you know, I listened at, I think it was War Room, a movie, War Room. Maybe about 7 or 8 months ago. No, it hadn't been that long. It was probably about 3 or 4 months ago. There were two gentlemen on the phone talking to me, and I was putting them together because they needed, one needed help, and I knew the other one could help. So I was on the phone with them, and they kept asking me, had I seen the movie War Room? And I said, no. I said, I've got to see it. I've heard people talk about it. And usually, you know, I'm a movie buff, and somehow or another I missed it when it was in the movie. Kept saying I was going to Redbox and didn't get it. And so finally I went over to my daughter's house, and I said, do you have it? And she said, yeah, I have it, and we watched it. So I came back, and I always would have in my home an altar. And usually I would have my altar in my closet because I don't want people to actually see it or actually, you know, be able to deal with it, touch anything on it, you know. And so when I saw War Room, it just reminded me of my space that I would create in my closet, that I could just be in there and just talk to the Lord and things of that nature. So in my study, the Lord was showing me, the Holy Spirit said, when you pray, you don't have to shout. You don't have to go to war. You know, like, why would you build a war room? God is a peaceful, humble, soft-spoken God. But we think when we have to do action, when we have to scream and yell and cry and beg, you know, oh, that's going to move God. Not move God at all. He taught me that a long time ago. I stopped that foolishness because I was one of his main students. Didn't work for me at all. But it taught me a lesson, how to communicate with God better. He gives you the desires of your heart. All you got to do is feel it and believe it, and you're going to receive it. He said, I give you the desires of your heart. The desires is your imagination within your heart. So as I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit said, remember, Peter said, teach us how to pray. I think they were saying to Jesus, and I might be off just a little bit, but hey, go to the Bible and get it right. Always, that's what I like to do. Go check it out. But he was saying, Elijah, I'm trying to think the name of the prophet. I'm not messed that up, so don't let me call the name of the prophet. But he was saying he teach his people how to pray. Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as I sat there and I looked at, I wrote it out, I taped it on the wall, and I would say that prayer in the morning, say it at night. I stopped even praying anything else other than that. That's all. Because he never told us to beg. He never told us to come and cry out, Lord, can you go? Well, where are you, Lord Jesus? Are you? He never said that. But he did say, when you pray, so now keep in mind, they call it the Our Father prayer, the one that he gave us. When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. So whatever you think on and put it into your heart, use your imagination to see that thing. Feel it in your heart. Then say the Our Father prayer. Whatever you say and believe in your heart when you pray, you shall receive it. See, we got to follow instructions. That's what he said. It's just that simple. And I noticed, once I started doing that, manifestation started showing up. It's just a simple 1, 2, 3 step. So then he said to me, do you know what it means, Bessie? Do you know what it means when you say those words? And I'm thinking, you know, because we've been saying it since we were little kids. You know, you get on your knees and your mother would say that prayer with you. And you say the word, you mimic the words. I've been mimicking the words for years. Thought I was saying with wisdom and understanding. But mimicking the words. And he broke that thing down to me. Our Father who art, A-R-T, in heaven. He said, what does the word art mean? I'm just talking about me now, because I know you guys are smarter than me, so you probably already know this, but, you know, it's my story, and he tells me, and I can only give you my journey and my testimony. So I looked up the word art. And so when you're talking about art, you know, and this is going to bring it back to something that Cynthia and I are doing right now. And he showed me, he said, now, the word art, you know, what does that mean? I looked up art. I said, okay, Lord, art. You know, because we know what art in the general sense is. You know, you're talking about, you know, pictures or, you know, things to this nature. You know, you're thinking art, the theater, the art, but you got sculptures, the art, dancing, the art, and then they got what they call the fine art, takes it to another level. But he said, our Father, which art in heaven, meaning his art, all of the God, all of the landscape that you see, the trees, all of these things is the art of God. Even we are part of the art, the frame of the artistic work of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, means that he's an artist. He has painted pictures for us to see. He has created creatures. All of those were created from a point. That is a part of his artwork. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That's another one. I said it. I said, okay. But what does it mean? Hallowed be thy name. You say, it means holy. holy is thy name. Holy. It's complete. It's holy. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom is the love, the hope, the joy, the peace of God's Spirit that comes into the earth through man. Thy will be done. The will on the earth, God wants it to be a mirror image of his will in heaven. So, if you're not doing according to the mirror image of God, you're out of his will. That's why you have to read his word. He left it in the artwork, in the book called the Bible. And I was thinking, I said, God, that's amazing. It's amazing. Somebody might say, oh, you just discovered that? And I say, yes, I did. And I'm glad I did. I'm not on the same journey with you. I'm not on the same page of the book of life with you. I'm on my own journey. My own lessons are being taught to me as I go. This radio platform, like I said from the very beginning, I can only share what the Holy Spirit has shared with me. Was that a part of what we started out with this morning? Sort of, but not really. He didn't tell me that when I first started getting the message this morning, but as I opened my mouth, he wanted to start with that. Give us this day our daily bread. I mean that every day you get up and say this prayer, just imagine that everything you need for this day will show up. It's not just bread. It's not just water. It's your health. It's your wealth. It's your prosperity. It's your joy, your peace, your happiness. For you and your children and your family. That's the bread of life. And he says, forgive us our debts. So you have no debts. Once you say that, in your mind you see yourself with no debts. I'll give you the desires of your heart. When you pray, believe. So you see yourself with no debts. Because, see, now you're giving them back to the Lord and watch them just leave. You'll wake up and you're debt free because I will give you. When you pray, say, and you shall receive if you believe it in your heart. And then it says, forgive as we forgive our debtors, meaning that you can't get forgiven for your debt. And then expect for people to pay you what they owe you. It just doesn't work that way. But as we ask God to forgive us for our debts and to take them away from us, he's saying, as I forgive you, you must mirror that and forgive others. And debt doesn't mean money. Debt means hate, anger, that secret you got in your heart that you just won't let go. You won't forgive somebody. You're going to hold them in debt for the rest of their life. But yet you want to go to God and ask God to forgive you. Forgive me of my debt. Forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord. I forgive them, but I won't forget. No. If you cannot forget, it's still in your heart, then you have not forgiven. And he says, I can't forgive you of your debt
when you can't forgive somebody else their debt, be it unto you. So when we go in prayer and we ask him to forgive us from our debt, we must repent and release everyone else of their debt. And that brings to mind a story where the gentleman came to the king, and the king says, you owe me, let's just say, $1,000. And he says, oh, king, please have mercy upon me. I don't have it. And I ask you to forgive me of this debt. And the king, after thinking about it, looking upon the man on his knees begging, asking, because he knew that the king could take him and his family and kill them all and take his land. But the king says, okay, I'm going to forgive you for your debt. You may go free. He walks right out of the palace, down the street, and saw a man that owed him $100. And he asked the man for his $100. And the man says, I don't have it. Can you please forgive me? You know, I don't have it. Can you please forgive the debt? And he said, no. He grabbed the man, had him arrested for debt owed to him. Someone, see, that's what I'm telling you. Someone is always watching you. Someone is always watching. You think you're walking around and nobody sees you. Someone is always, everything you do, somebody see it. And they went back and told the king, king, can you believe it? The man that you just released from his debt, he went out. He had a man arrested for his debt owed to him. The king said, what? Paraphrasing here now. Bring him to me. They go get the man, bring him back, and the king said, what did you do? I forgave you thousands, and you had this man locked up for hundreds. He locked him up, took him and his family. So all of that to say, you can ask God all day long to forgive you for your debt. But if you're holding somebody else hostage, God cannot. He cannot do it. Because he doesn't do anything that's not just and righteous. And you know, if you're asking for forgiveness and have not forgiven someone else, you got the answer, because God's not going to do anything injustice. He's not. You got to come straight. And then he says, lead me not into temptation. And I used to think about that. I was sitting there and said, lead me not into temptation. Why would God lead me into temptation? Just meaning the opposite. Stop me. Don't let me enter into temptation. Because temptation is always ahead of you. Temptation. Whatever you enter, you wake up in a day, the enemy is already thinking what he's going to tempt you with on that day. Lead me not down that road, down that path, in that office, meeting the person, into a conversation, looking at television, listening to the radio. Lead me not into temptation, something that will get into my ears and then get into my heart and then start living. And then I start having intro conversations as if those things were my own. Lead me not into those temptations. The temptation to eat too much, the temptation to have too many drinks, the temptation to go out and seek for things that I shouldn't. Lead me not. Keep me on a path away from temptation, because they're out there
and deliver me from evil, to deliver me, to take me up above evil so Satan can't even touch me. Keep him under my feet. That's why he says, Satan is under your feet. Because he's delivered you above him. For thine is the kingdom, the love, the glory, the hope, the praise, the mercy, the power, the one and only, the Holy Spirit, known as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that comes and lives in you. That's your counselor, your doctor, your advisor, your business partner. He's your all in all. He's everything. He knows everything. He's there to remind you what God said, to keep you from temptation. He'll tell you, no, don't go there today. Stay at home. Don't drive your car today. Because he knows if you do that, you're going to run into temptation. Don't call that man today. You know that's not right. Don't call that woman today. You know that's not right. I'm trying to help you stay out of temptation. Don't think those thoughts. Because those thoughts are taking you down a road which helps you create an image of temptation. And what you see on your mind's eye, your body will desire that. Your body will fight you because your body saw it. It felt what you saw in the image. And it will fight you to get it. And then the glory. The glory. The glory. That's God's gift to you. His love, his presence, his peace. His all in all. Thank you, Father. And what I want to say to you all is, when I get up, I release myself to the Holy Spirit. So that was straight from the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to talk to you about this morning. I know that because my title this morning was Mothers and Daughters, Receive Your Total Restoration Now. That was my title. That's what we talked about. It's amazing. But I work for the Holy Spirit. I tell him, wherever you lead, I'm going to go. And you just got a message. And that message really is vital to restoration, salvation. Because if you don't know how to communicate with God, you won't be able to get the blessings that he prepared for us. We've got to walk away from tradition, traditional religion, the emotional stuff, getting stressed. He said, don't get anxious about anything. So if you find yourself stressing, getting hot, getting cold, saying the same thing, just go sit down. And remember, he said, do not get anxious about anything. And if you learn how to pray and not beg,
then manifestation will show up in your life. I used to beg, and I didn't know I was begging. I thought I was praying. And I thought, well, I'm just talking to the Lord. Lord, I want you to hear me. But in the meantime, I'm asking him to do this, go here, come back over here, go over there and take something and bring something back over here and stop by Sister Mary's house, you know, remember this, remember that one, da-da-da-da-da, you know, because that's the way I was raised. That's the way they prayed. Got me nowhere. God said, I don't move like that. The last time I got a good one was when I cried and cried till my eyes was pretty much shut. He said, you go to bed. And you go to sleep. And I laid down and went to, I was sitting on the side of the bed and cried, so I mean literally, ridiculous now that I think about it. And I was sitting on the side of the bed. He said, that doesn't move me. Now you lay down and go to sleep, and then we'll talk. And I laid down, and I mean, it just, I must have went boom, just like that. That's all I can remember, was laying back in the bed. 3 o'clock, he woke me up. Get up, go wash your face, and come back, and I'll talk to you. I got up, washed my face, came back, sat on the side of the bed. He said, crying and emotions does not move me. That is not how you talk to me. You want to talk to me, we'll have a conversation. But it will be in the calmness of the heart that I will hear you. It will be in the calmness of the heart. And that's when I changed. That's when I changed. Did I stop crying out to God? No. I talk in the quiet and in the calmness, and tears will just roll out of my eyes sometimes when I'm talking to God. But I cut out all that emotion. Emotions is that, you know, he just, he can't even attend to you because you're out of order. That's why he said, peace, be still. In the peace and the quiet, in the comfort, he can hear you. He knows what you're thinking. You don't have to explain it to him. He already knows. So we play with his intelligence when we try to explain to him what we think he should know when he's looking at you. Hey, I made you. I am the artist here. I designed you. I took my brush out and put the smile on your face. So I know you. So when you pray, follow instructions. I sent Jesus just for those reasons alone, to teach you how to communicate with me. And if you don't follow what he says, then it's going to be very hard for you to communicate with me. You choose. You can keep doing it your way, like the children of Israel, screaming and hollering and murmuring and complaining, and you'll be 40 years going around that mountain. Or you can make a decision today to restore your communication with God. Total restoration. Now, when I was thinking about total restoration, I'm thinking about things that you do in your life, you know, getting yourself together. But see, the Holy Spirit just came from a different angle. Total restoration of your prayer life. And when we're talking about, and I'm going to wrap this up because I got to get my co-host in here. I know they're biting at the bits. Like, come on, Dr. Fletcher, I got something to say here. Come on. Total restoration. So I'm just going to, I jot this down. I'm going to say this real quickly. What is salvation? Can you have total restoration without salvation? In my heart, I say no. That's my belief system. Because salvation on the cross where Jesus actually did it all, it was done, it was complete, everything was completed on the cross. So there was your deliverance, he rescued you, he saved you there. Now, restoration is to reinstate or reestablish a return to something. See, even when you're running around doing what you do, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. The Holy Spirit is still telling you, you shouldn't do that. He's telling you to come to Jesus. He's telling you the Father is seeking you. The Father's seeking you. He sent Jesus to tell you, I'm going to seek you, and I'm going to send others to seek you. I'm going to send Dr. Bessie to seek you. I'm going to send Cynthia to seek you. I'm going to send Deborah to seek you. I'm going to send Frida to seek you. And anyone else that comes on that radio program, we're going to seek you. Now you have to make up your mind whether you want to come to be restored, to get the manifestation of salvation. And he'll let you run, 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 and then one day you're going to just get so tired, you're going to say, Lord, I need some help. Lord, are you there? Just, ha, 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 I'm here. Because what? Someone watered your seed, and they kept watering your seed, and you saw the manifestation of God. The plant started growing in your heart, and you were tired, and you came in, and you asked God through Jesus Christ to forgive you, and you repented for your sin. And that started your restoration process. That started your restoration process. Now, there's so many things in there that you can do to get whole. In order to get whole, you got to do this every day. Because wholeness don't really come until you enter into the kingdom. So you're adding to that sum total. You're adding every day, every day. You read the word of God, you talk to God, you look at the Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? You thank Jesus, you get up, whatever it is that he designed, your relationship is different from mine. Everybody does it a different way. But whatever it is, you're adding to your total sum of complete, total restoration with God. Meaning that nothing is missing, because you know that you know that you know that on that cross, Jesus saved you. And everything, your health, your wealth, your prosperity, even as your soul prospers, was completed during his time on that cross. And he wants you to know, because he stood for you, that in the name of Jesus, all things are possible. It doesn't get any simpler than that. All you got to do is believe that. And if you believe all things are possible, then what are you worrying about today? Why are you sitting back trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow? If you believe all things are possible. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher.
So that's where we are.
Interesting concept, interesting conversation. And as you were talking, I was looking up terms and restoration and how we receive that total restoration. And the one thing that stuck out for me, and you said this when you first started talking this morning, about being mindful and learning to number our days. And God even tells us to be about our Father's business with that concept in mind in Psalms 90, verse 12. Then as you continued to talk, my mind started to wonder about the term, hallowed thy be thy name, thy Father, and those terms allowed me to even start to critically think about what it is that you're saying with the respect to God and how his name is as holy as his principles are, and that we are to be at odds in all of it, but by that same token, be at odds with respect, because he deserves it. And all of being respectful to his name and being respectful to his principles by learning to forgive people honors God. And when we honor him, he says that he's not a man that can lie. He has to honor us with regards to restoring us back unto him. And it all starts by accepting Christ. You said, you asked that question, can we be restored if we are not believers in Christ? And you said that your opinion says no. Scripture says no. If your assumption based on Scripture suggests that we cannot be fully restored until we accept Christ. I didn't say it. Scripture said it. Verse 9, Psalms 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, and thy Lord has not, he will not forsake those who seek him. And you seek him in respect. You seek him based on who he is, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Very interesting conversation this morning, Dr. Fletcher. And it's just awesome that he gives us the opportunity to be restored and have what he says we can have. And it's like you said, it's so simple. It's so simple, we make it hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
what happens.
Restoration lies.
You're thinking too much.
I just follow instructions, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there in Scripture. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you need that is not in Scripture. And he gives us the instructions to regain the things that we've lost, our restoration unto him. I love it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome. It's so amazing. Testimonies. That's all we have, testimonies. And when we share our testimonies, they bless other people. But, you know, and the thing of it is, if you just get whatever it is that you want God to do for you, just concentrate on those Bible verses. Just run them. Like I told you one time, I went on Google, and I said, what did God say about, some of them I said, what did God, Jesus said about this? Some of them I said, give me the Bible verse on this. And I ran them off, and I would read them. That was my lesson. Because sometimes when we go into the Bible, you know, people are trying to figure out, well, what happened before this? And it seems like this piece doesn't connect to that piece. So I said, let me just see what it says about health. Let me see what he says about prosperity. Let me see what he says about wealth. Let me see what he says about, you know, love. Let me see what he says about words. Let me see what he says about thoughts. Let me see what he says about visions. Let me see what he says about life and reality. And I print those things off. And actually, got a book of them. And I just read them, especially when I'm traveling on the plane. I sit back and open my book, and that's my reading. And I read those, and I finish them all, and then I went back and I said, let me just see what Jesus said. I want all the red words that Jesus said. And I print those off, and I just read exactly what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, it is amazing. It is amazing, because now when I need something in an area, now that he's told me, this is how I want you to pray. Because he tell you, all people going with a lot of mouth and doing a lot of talking, he said, end up with hypocrites. And that's why he said, too much talking, and they ain't got to do all that. Just say this. They ask him, how do we pray? He say this. But how many times? Used to be church, you would, 1 second. Okay, Deb, I got you live now. I just want to finish your statement. Used to be in church. No one started out anything without the Our Father prayers. That was the very first thing. Now, the Holy Spirit said to me, when the last time you ever been to church and they said the Our Father prayer? When is the last time? And I'm thinking, I can't even remember from years, because everybody Everybody gets up with their own prayer. Their own prayer. God, we need you to come here. We need you to heal this one. Who can you tell you to pray like that? But anyway, Deborah, go ahead. I'm about to get on the soapbox. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Paul. I had a couple of things I wanted to say, but mainly about the when you was talking about in the our Father prayer about the forgive us as we forgive others.
Uh-huh.
That peace, yeah, and so I have that peace all the time with me because I know in my humanity, in my sinful nature, in my sinful nature, that there are times that I'm going to miss the mark. There are times that I'm going to do things that offend God, and I want God to forgive me. And every time I go back to that part of that prayer where it says, forgive me as I forgive others. That key word for me, as I, likewise. I remember one day I had an issue against somebody, and, you know, I had forgave them half-heartedly. And then I go to God saying the prayer, forgive me as, and God said to me, you want me to forgive you like you forgave Johnny? I said, no, Lord, not like that, Lord, because I was still holding something against Johnny. And I knew in my heart that when Johnny passed by, something in me moved that wasn't good. I just want to share that because it helps me when I'm dealing with people that's just like me that maybe don't have the same issues but have some issues, and then I want to think maybe my issues are a little better than their issues, and God is saying, I'm going to forgive you just like that. And that helps me.
You're alive.
That helps me. You have to do that. Anyway, okay, restoration. To me,
no, don't rush, go ahead. I was just telling Sister she was live. She wanted to comment.
I'm going to give them two little points. But I just had to
okay,
say
go ahead.
Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me and help me forgive them wholeheartedly. And when I know I forgave them when they asked me for a dollar, and normally I would have given them the dollar, but they asked me for a dollar now, and I have to tell I ain't got the dollar. God said, you just fine, and you got the dollar because you're still holding stuff. You want me to forgive you like you forgive others? No, God. Help me. That's powerful, Deborah.
I mean, I'm laughing because God has a way of that's why all three of us on this line, everybody came from a different perspective, but then that's the example right there. That seals it right there. Everybody can relate to that, I'm sure. Go ahead.
And so, with the restoration, you know, and I said, okay, God, salvation, okay, restoration, when you was talking, you know, reminds me of pressing towards the mark. Pressing, keep pushing, and keep pushing until he come back and claim what's healed. Keep pushing until that day of completion when the rapture come and take all the chosen ones, the saved ones, the ones in Christ. Keep pushing. Restore me every day, daily. Every day until the complete restoration is finished. So every day I just ask God to help me press on for the mark, because some days I don't feel like pressing. Some days I don't feel like being kind. Some days I don't feel like sharing. Some days, and I say, Lord, help me press. Restore me back to that place you originally wanted your children to be in, you know? And so I just thank God that you know, you let God use you and you say that, because when he talking, he just talking to you. He talking to you through me. He talking to me through you. He just happened to be using your mouth for the vessel of the hour, and I'm saying, Lord, my God, thank you for allowing her to open her mouth and let what you want to come out. That's what it's about. Say what God tells you.
I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sorry, but I just needed to say this. Before I open my eyes this morning, in my spirit, I hear back to the basics.
Thank you, yeah.
It's really that simple. We're pressing and pushing. When all we got to do is get back to the basics, and that's what the Bible is all about. That's what that word and an acronym Bible stands for.
Basic information. Yeah, it's in my book.
Absolutely. To live by, absolutely. It's basic information. We ain't got to be pushing and pulling if we just get back to, if we just do what God tells us to do.
I take that back. I had it in that basic information because that's the way they have it. You can find it basic information. And the Lord said, is it basic information or is it basic instruction? I said, yes.
Basic instructions is what it is. Absolutely.
Yes, what it is.
Absolutely. Just follow instructions. Mm-hmm. And we ain't got to do all this pushing and pulling. We got to do all this pushing and pulling and pressing and all that if we just follow his instructions. It's just that simple. It's so easy that we make it hard.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about what you said, Deborah, see, now don't you think now he used me, but he uses you, Cynthia, too. I learned, too. So I'm listening to you, and you said, Lord, restore me every day. And see, that just touched my spirit. I was like, wow, okay, I got that. Restore me every day. So, yeah, every day we get up is a new day. We should expect to be restored every day because I'm a quick repenter. I done got to the point now, if a thought come across my mind and my spirit kind of moving, and like, I said, Lord, I repent right now in the name of Jesus. He said, that's why David was a man after his own heart. He said, David was a man after my own heart. And even though people can look at David's life and they'll say, how can he be a man after God's own heart with all the things that he's done? See, they look at what they see. But God said the minute David did something wrong, he repented. The minute. He didn't let that thing set. He came straight. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and lay down in front of him. I have mercy upon him. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Oh, God, please, I repent. Boom. Because you know, once he repents, God forgets it. It's off of his page for that day. So when I heard that years ago, I'm a quick repenter. I'm like, repent, repent. And I believe right now that's why I'm still here, because I'm quick to repent. You can't let this stuff build up. You got mountains and mountains, and you've got to clean this thing out and repent daily. Secondly, you know, I was listening to Gloria Copeland last night. She said, I'm telling you, she said, I make mistakes, and I'll be like, Lord, okay, thank you for correcting me. I repent, I repent, I repent. I said, and that reminded me, I said, you know what, Gloria? I'm a quick repenter, too. We have to do that. This thing, when you repent, it's gone. You repent, it's gone. God is so just. He will forgive us. And that's the restoration. Thank you for sharing that with me, Deb, because that's restoration right there. When you repent, you're restored. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. When you repent quickly, you're restored quickly. That's what I got.
And that goes back.
Thank you, Deb.
That goes back to being mindful of and being about our Father's business.
Mm-hmm.
It all goes back to that, being mindful of you, what it is that you are doing and not doing according to his word.
All right, ladies, hold 1 second.
Been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show, ladies. Have a great week. That was great. We just want to give thanks to God for that one.
Amen.
Have a good one.
Okay.
All right.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
You too. Love you, ladies. Bye, audience.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
All right.